Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Jennifer Kay, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, I have had it with air travelers. Pesky passengers are ruining the flying experience. I am so glad to be home. I just returned from traveling to Georgia for Thanksgiving. I hadn't put my arms around my family since just before COVID sent us all into lockdowns. On my flights, I observe some behaviors I like to correct. Before I dive into my list of offenses here, let me start by saying that I suffer from blood clots, so I always purchase an aisle seat to be less disruptive to other passengers. I also tend to upgrade to premium economy if I can so that I have a little extra room, even though I'm tiny. I don't like being touched by strangers. I try to be a respectful seatmate, and I expect the same in return. Now, for the rant. If we could all just agree to the following, that'd be great. 1. You've paid for a seat, generally just one seat, and it's going to give you approximately 18 to 23 inches of personal space to the front and sides for your comfort needs during the flight. Granted, that's not much space, but it's going to have to make do since you bought one ticket. Since I also paid for one seat, I would really like it if you would remain within your allotted 18 or so inches and not extend your body parts into my personal space, which you did not pay for. This goes for your feet, elbows. I will get into the dynamics of the middle seat flyer momentarily. Hands and head. I really should not have to tell you this. You learned in kindergarten to keep your hands to yourself, right? 2. For the love of everything holy, sit still, people. Especially the men. I swear it looks like a group of 5-year-olds that have to pee. Between the jiggling legs, which are really disruptive in close quarters, the leaning back and forth between the screen and your seat, and the constant shifting of position, I really began to wonder if you all had ants in your pants. We're all uncomfortable on a cross-country flight. If you need to get up and move around, politely ask your seatmate to stand up and take yourself for a walk. You do not need to do calisthenics in your seat. Don't tap your fingernails on your iPad or drum your fingers on your tray table. I'm literally inches away from you. I have read the same sentence in my book 15 times now, and I would like to hurt you. 3. Is it possible to stand up from your seat without touching the headrest of the person in front of you? I am sick of having my head yanked backward by some creep who thinks the only way he can get up out of his seat is by pulling back on mine. I have mastered the art of standing up without touching any seat but my own. You can too. And stop kicking my seat from behind. I look back to see if there's a tall person seated behind me before I think about reclining my seat. Give me some courtesy for not making you uncomfortable. 4. The unlucky stiff who gets the middle seat controls the center armrests. Both of them, period. This is not negotiable. That's the shittiest seat on the plane with the least room, and thus, while flying aisle, I do not touch the center seat's armrests. I tuck my inner elbow down below the armrest. However, keep your elbows out of my seat. I cannot tell you how many times I have had to gently push someone's elbow out of my seat. See number one above. Your center seat does not entitle you to fondle my breasts mid-flight with your pointy bones. 5. Back to you, men. Is it really so difficult to sit with your legs closed? Are your balls so huge that you have to man-spread your legs out past where your seat ends? I do not want to feel your legs brushing up against mine. Get back to where you belong and have some decency. Pretend you're an unmarried girl in Arkansas and you have to keep an aspirin pinned between your knees. Yes, for the whole flight. 6. Now for you women. STFU. Nobody wants to hear your oration on where you live, where you're flying, what relatives you just saw, and how much the pizza costs in the airport. I will listen politely, but wonder why you haven't picked up on my tersely worded responses or noted that I'm engrossed in the book on my Kindle rather than hanging on your every word. And please, don't order that second cocktail. I'm judging you, and so is the flight attendant, because we both know you can't handle your liquor, and you're going to become even more obnoxious. Upon landing, refrain from commenting rudely on the air quality at your destination. That is someone's home you're disparaging. We all know you think you live in a better town, but really, stop talking, Karen. 7. Speaking of alcohol, you are not in a cocktail bar. Do not rattle the ice in your plastic cup as if you're about to roll the dice for craps. Repeatedly. If your drink is empty, give the cup to the flight attendant carrying a big trash bag. You can get another drink at the airport bar if you are that desperate to get wasted. 8. The airplane bathroom is a shared facility. That means when you approach the door, you must look at the little tag that shows occupied in red or vacant in green before tugging furiously at the door, trying to dislodge it while I am in there pulling up my pants. Do not feign surprise when I then open the door and startle the shit out of you because you are way too close to the door and were not expecting me to materialize out of thin air. You are a Philistine. 9. We're all entitled to one carry-on and a personal item. If you brought two carry-on items, you had better figure out where you're going to put it because you're sure as hell not taking my space in the overhead bins, and I'm not going to put my carry-on in the back of the plane when I've paid for a dedicated overhead bin near my seat. Check that extra bag, please. And Karen, it was your decision to place your hat in the overhead bin. You do not need to commandeer everyone else's attention to make sure it doesn't get crushed by the other luggage. If you don't want it crushed, hold it on your damn lap. The overhead bin is not a hat rack. 10. For all the parents of young children out there, heaven bless you. I do not blame you for the fact that your child is screaming uncontrollably. You are not bad parents, but please, I beg of you, do as the wonderful young couple on today's flight did and get your baby a bottle or a pacifier as the plane begins its descent. It helps them pop their eardrums since they aren't able to do the Frenzel technique by themselves. I don't have children, and I know this. This should be required in the safety demonstration at the beginning of the flight. 11. Flight attendants and crew deserve respect. Smile and be polite. They are not indentured servants. They are doing a job. Do unto others. Well, it's time for me to lock myself in for my mandatory 10-day Omicron variant quarantine. Thank you for your attention. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy your flight. No flight attendants were harmed in the making of this article. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook. Or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.